You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
This new year, why not let Audible expand your life by listening? Explore over 1 million audiobooks, podcasts, and exclusive Audible originals that'll inspire and motivate you. Tap into your well-being with advice and insight from leading professionals and experts on better health, relationships, career, finance, investing, and more. Maybe you want to kick a bad habit or start a good one. If you're interested in learning how to master your emotions and hearing scientifically backed advice for using your emotions as a tool, may I suggest Shift by psychologist and bestseller author Dr. Ethan Cross? Trust me, listening on Audible can help you reach the goals you set for yourself. Start listening today when you sign up for a free 30-day trial at audible.com/wondery. That's audible.com/wondery.
At Lands' End Outfitters, they've been outfitting partnerships designed for impact for over 30 years. They deliver more than just uniforms. Their branded apparel provides comfort, durability, and customization that unite your team and ignite your brand. Whether you need to outfit a small team or thousands, they've got you covered. From expert guidance to seamless setup and ordering, they make the process simple and stress-free, so you can focus on what matters most. And with state-of-the-art custom embroidery and dedicated support from their award-winning Lands' End service team, your brand is in the best hands. Ready to elevate your brand? Visit business.landsend.com/unite and use promo code UNITE for 20% off your order, plus free logo setup, a $29 savings. That's business.landsend.com/unite, promo code UNITE.
There are times when global change can impact you in ways you did not expect. Think about how the internet completely revolutionized the way we communicate, shop, and even find love. Or how the smartphone put the world at our fingertips, changing our daily lives in ways we couldn't have imagined. Or recently, how the COVID-19 pandemic changed how we work. These are things you have experienced firsthand, so you know what it feels like. But can you imagine something really simple changing lives? Like if I told you the telegraph changed people's lives. Can you fathom what that's like? Well, this is what happened in the 19th century, and it's the reason Tiffany & Company is the company it is today. Welcome back, friend, to Hometown History. In today's episode, we will explore the story of how Tiffany & Company leveraged the transatlantic telegraph cable milestone to become a name known in every household. But before we begin, let's get our backgrounds right. When Charles Lewis Tiffany founded his store in 1837, it was considered a haven for affluent New Yorkers. It offered imported fineries like porcelain, Japanese papier-mâché, walking sticks, and crystal glassware. Basically a wide variety of luxury items and decorative products, making Tiffany a quote-unquote fancy goods store. Those words are exactly in the language of the time. Now the telegraph system, which allowed messages to be transmitted over long distances using electrical signals, was developed by Samuel Morse in the 1830s and 40s. In the following years, they were able to successfully show that electrical signals could be transmitted over long distances, like from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore, Maryland. And then came the step forward, The Atlantic Telegraph Company, led by Cyrus Westfield, constructed the first transatlantic telegraph cable. Field became intrigued by telegraphy after meeting electrical engineer Frederick Newton Gisborne in 1854. Gisborne needed financing for a project extending North America's telegraph system from Nova Scotia to Newfoundland. Field reasoned that if a cable could span the Cabot Strait, a longer one could traverse the entire North Atlantic. Theoretically, it was possible, but it wasn't without its problems. The seafloor was mountainous and 2 miles deep in some places. Since no single ship could handle the cable's full length, two vessels, the British battleship HMS Agamemnon and the U.S. Navy's Niagara, shared the task. The project began in 1854, with the first cable laid from Valentia Island, off the west coast of Ireland, to Bay of Bulls, Trinity Bay, Newfoundland. Unfortunately, equipment failure, heavy seas, and snapped cables plagued the early attempts. But on August 5, 1858, the venture succeeded when the cable ends were brought ashore and the first communications occurred on August 16, 1858. The first official telegraph to pass between two continents that day was a letter of congratulations from Queen Victoria of the United Kingdom to the President of the United States, James Buchanan. The news was met with joy across America's eastern seaboard. In Boston, poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow called it the greatest news of the hour, the year, the century. Imagine how it felt for the person who made the first website ever. It was a sign of massive change and progress. Field stayed in Newfoundland for a few days before setting sail for New York, where locals had already started celebrating with parades, brass bands, and bonfires. The New York Times reported on August 18th, "New York yesterday went cable mad." But that excitement was short-lived. The signal quality declined soon after that, slowing transmission to an almost unusable speed. The cable was destroyed after 3 weeks, when Wildman Whitehouse applied excessive voltage to it while trying to make it go faster. Its short life undermined public and investor confidence and delayed efforts to restore a connection. But in all that mess, Charles Tiffany saw an opportunity. For context, Charles was born into a Connecticut cotton mill family on February 15, 1812, which meant he had zero formal business education. Yet, as most people back then would tell you, one of Mr. Tiffany's most noted traits, and one that has distinguished the house in its entire career, is an instinctive avoidance of beaten paths. It was this trait that had already served him well in 1848, when he capitalized on a French Revolution to acquire diamonds from fleeing aristocrats at bargain prices, creating a sensation in New York. Now coming back, he trusted his instincts once again. It was Tuesday, August 24, 1858, when readers of the New York Times encountered an unusual classified ad. Charles had apparently acquired 20 miles out of the 2,200 miles of the transatlantic telegraph cable. The excess cable likely came into his possession shortly after the Niagara docked at the Brooklyn Navy Yard on August 18th. To his credit, it was quite a masterful move. You may be wondering what the plan was. As a fancy goods store in Manhattan selling souvenirs, Charles wasn't reinventing the wheel here. He was making the telegraph line into a souvenir. The ad read, "In order to place the cable within the reach of all classes, and that every family in the United States may possess a specimen of this wonderful mechanic curiosity, Tiffany and Company would cut it into pieces of 4 inches in length and mount them neatly with brass ferrules. The exclusivity they were offering here, which is letting the public own a piece of history, was a way to attract the masses towards their offer. Since the cable didn't stand out visually, Tiffany obtained a letter from Field attesting to the cable's authenticity, and each souvenir purchaser received a copyrighted facsimile of this certificate. Tiffany also equipped each piece with a brass collar inscribed Atlantic Telegraph Cable, guaranteed by Tiffany and Company. This brass collar was Tiffany's stroke of brilliance. It was all about physically linking an important artifact with the Tiffany and Company name. These souvenirs were priced at just 50 cents each, which would be about $19 today. So they were within reach of the average New Yorker. Tiffany's market insight was actually spot on, as recounted in Joseph Perlett's 1971 book, The Tiffany Touch. Quote, "The crowds were so great when the souvenirs were put on sale that the constabulary had to be called." These finger-length mementos made Tiffany & Company a household name. Not diamonds, not decorations, but a cable. The souvenirs still hold pride of place in private and public collections, including the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. Nobody knows exactly how many telegraph cable souvenirs Tiffany created. In theory, 20 miles of wire could yield more than 100,000 4-inch souvenirs. But it's clear that far fewer were made. The store also offered cable by the foot and a variety of commemorative items, from canes to whip handles to coils for ornamenting parlors and offices. What is certain is that the souvenirs were very popular when first sold, but demand quickly went down. One of the main reasons for this fall in demand was the fact that despite its technological revolution, the Atlantic cable never functioned reliably. The first message had taken 16 hours and 30 minutes to transmit, as the signal weakened daily, and messages became increasingly garbled. Who would want a piece of that? The last decipherable message was sent on September 1, 1858. The cable's useful life had lasted roughly 3 weeks, but eventually, reports revealed that the cable's too thin copper core and high-voltage induction coils had doomed it. Field stalled for time, but eventually admitted to the Associated Press on September 24th, cable not in working order. The public, which had hailed him as a hero, quickly turned on him. Some even claimed that the transatlantic cable had been a scam. And since the marketing tactic was closely associated with this cable, the effect reflected in the fall in demand for the souvenirs created by Tiffany. Understandably, citizens disillusioned by the cable's failure had little interest in souvenirs made from it. On October 5th, Tiffany placed another ad in the Times, announcing that his company would dispose of the remainder of the telegraph cable now on hand by the mile at a very low price. It's clear Tiffany had plenty of stock left. The New York Historical Society has a box of 930 Tiffany souvenirs, apparently donated by Field. Later, in 1974, George McGowan of Lake George, New York, found nearly 40 crates of souvenirs, each containing 100 pieces. That same year, a California gold and silver broker called Lanello Reserves began selling a similar quantity of cable sections for $100 each, which is about $620 today. With a steep price tag for its cable segments, Lanello apparently had enough unsold stock to donate a box of 100 to the American History Museum, According to curator Wallace, 99 remain in the museum's collection. The last of the 100 was later gifted to the Houston Museum of Natural Science. This is not to be confused with a failed strategy. It was far from that. The main thing achieved here was establishing Tiffany & Company as a brand, something you were likely to own a small part of in your own home, at just 50 cents, no less. This is seen in the fact that in recent decades, many Tiffany cable souvenirs have surfaced at estate sales and auctions, fetching high prices. The presence of the Tiffany & Company brand significantly increases their value, says Manhattan antique dealer George Glazer, who estimates he's sold around 50 Tiffany cable souvenirs. He says, "There are some cable segments that float around that don't have the label in the middle, but people don't want them as much. They have a lower value, even though they're unquestionably identical and authentic. People want the Tiffany name." The Tiffany name was out there, known to everyone. In the following years, this was seen as an example of innovative marketing that set a precedent for Tiffany & Company's business practices. They continued to leverage significant events and milestones to enhance their brand image and attract new customers, just like Charles Tiffany did all those years ago. For example, Tiffany's reputation for quality and craftsmanship was further cemented by its role in designing and producing the Vince Lombardi Trophy for the Super Bowl, or recently when they took advantage of AI tools to improve the online shopping experience. Essentially, you would be able to try on their jewelry virtually. In itself, it doesn't have much to it, but it makes it easier for buyers to visualize what the product will be like. Kind of reflecting the in-store experience Tiffany & Company is known for. And that wraps up today's episode. All of it comes down to two major factors: Charles's marketing genius and his entrepreneurial spirit. Charles Lewis Tiffany trusted his instincts, and it worked better than he probably anticipated. Or maybe he did know all along, because he is just that good. Either way, it's a valuable lesson in marketing. Thanks for listening to Hometown History. Be sure to follow along for more interesting stories from the past.
At Lands' End Outfitters, they've been outfitting partnerships designed for impact for over 30 years. They deliver more than just uniforms. Their branded apparel provides comfort, durability, and customization that unite your team and ignite your brand. Whether you need to outfit a small team or thousands, they've got you covered. From expert guidance to seamless setup and ordering, they make the process simple and stress-free, so you can focus on what matters most. And with state-of-the-art custom embroidery and dedicated support from their award-winning Lands' End service team, your brand is in the best hands. Ready to elevate your brand? Visit business.landsend.com/unite and use promo code UNITE for 20% off your order plus free logo setup, a $29 savings. That's business.landsend.com/unite. Promo code UNITE.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.